Today we're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 3, so if you have Bibles, you can turn there. It is a new year, and we finally have gotten through the Christmas season. I believe the 12th day of Christmas was on Thursday, and I would like to say, like usual, I'm the last house in the neighborhood to get their lights down, but there was actually one other person who had their lights on Friday, so I think they were celebrating Three Kings Day or something. But anyway, we're in a new year, and so I wanted to start this year by doing a short series on resolutions. Many people make resolutions. Most people don't adhere to them very well. But there's something in the new year that is fresh and new, and people are happy to leave the old behind and to celebrate and to look ahead and to decide to make changes in their life. And so we'll talk a little bit about that today. Some of the top 10 resolutions out there. Enjoy life, lose weight. I guess for many who smoke, it's a time to try to quit smoking, help others, learn something new, get out of debt, and various others. And I actually found a survey online at a website called Statistic Brain, and they surveyed about 2,000 people, and they came up with these statistics, and actually they said 41% people usually typically make resolutions every year, and another 17% sometimes do. 42% never make any resolutions, or maybe they resolve not to make a resolution. Wonder if they keep that. The percent, though, of achieving the resolution is pretty dismal, 9.2%. People who have infrequent success, 48 to 42%. That for those who never succeed. But I really like the last line here. It says people who explicitly make resolutions are 10 times more likely to attain their goals than people who don't explicitly make resolutions. So it's not very good odds to actually keep your resolutions, but if you make your resolution and you actually fulfill it, change can be had in one's life. If you don't make a resolution, then most likely there'll be no change. And so I think this maybe is something to think about, at least in trying. And I think as we approach the new year as believers, I don't know if or not you would want to make resolutions, but I think it's a time that we can kind of reflect on where we've been and what we want to do in terms of serving the Lord in the new year. So that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today from our Philippians passage, and we're going to really be focusing on the emphasis that Paul has in this passage. Press on in your pursuit of Christ, and we will see that in our passage today. So let's read this, Philippians 3, 13 and 14 together. Brothers and sisters, I do not myself yet to have taken a hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Sometimes I have verses memorized in other versions, and that's exactly where I go, whether I'm reading it or not. But we have our NIV scripture here. And as by way of context and trying to figure out a little bit of what the Apostle Paul is saying to the Philippians and the church, he says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken a hold of it. And I think the question is, what is it? If we spend the whole time talking about pressing forward but not knowing what it is, that would be maybe a little problematic. And so if we basically go to the beginning part of the chapter, I think that actually links with this part of the chapter, though I think there may be a paragraph subdivision in the NIV text, which probably would better go with the next earlier paragraph. But the verse that when he's talking about it really goes back to Philippians 3:8. I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And this is actually from our Carolina Regional Conference English conference last year. This was our theme verse, all else rubbish, because when we go on and when Paul's talking about the things that he has considered loss, he goes on to say I consider everything lost for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For the sake I have lost all things, I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ, that I may gain Christ and found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that is from the law. And so that was our theme, all else is rubbish, that everything else in Paul's life, all of his accomplishments, all of his goals, everything he attained, his relationships, whatever, all of those he basically considered as nothing, as garbage, as refuse, in comparison to the surpassing goal and knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. And so he's really talking about pursuing God, pursuing Christ, and knowing Christ, knowing who he is. And so that, I believe, is what the it is in our passage. And so we'll kind of look at four different points here from the verse that explains how the Apostle Paul actually went about pursuing Christ and pressing on. And so the first thing we see is that we need to leave behind. And Paul goes on to say, forgetting what is behind and then straining forward to what is ahead. So the first thing, forgetting what is behind. And so kind of like I think when we're celebrating communion and remembering Christ at the table, we take a time always of silent prayer, meditation, confession, because we want to come to the table with a pure heart. And so that's one of the great joys and maybe benefits that we have as believers in Christ, that we can, in effect, start with a clean slate, because we can come to the Lord and we can receive His forgiveness. We can receive not only the forgiveness of our sins, but also the guilt of our sins. Sometimes we somehow, and we kind of understand and we see from the Word that we have received the forgiveness of Christ and we accept the promise, but we still feel guilty about it. And God can actually take care of that as well. And I really like this quote by Pastor Rick Warren. And he says, God specializes in giving people a fresh start. And I think that is so true, that God specializes in that. And so whatever we may be going through, whatever obstacles may come in our way, whatever sin, whatever temptation, God can and does forgive us and cleanses us and helps us to move on to have a fresh start. And as we seek to know Christ and to pursue Him, there will be times when we stumble and fall. We may even look back on 2016 and we may think, you know, there's a lot that I wish that I could have done in seeking to know Christ. But that's okay, because we can have a fresh start as we come to Christ in confession as we seek to move forward into the new year. The second thing that Paul encourages in this passage is to strain forward. And so not only are we to forget what is behind, we are to strain toward what is ahead. And this image of straining forward is actually an athletic image or a track and field image. And for the most part here in this passage, what Paul is doing is he's using athletic imagery. And the main athletic games of those days were basically Olympic games, track and field and the like, and maybe wrestling and some other sports. And they did have Olympic games in Greece, in ancient Greece. And they also had various other games. They had another game that was called the Isthmian Games, and they seem to have various different competitions throughout the year, much as our athletes continue to compete in the Olympics even today. And so when Paul is saying strain forward to what is ahead, he's basically trying to give this image of track and field, where someone is straining forward to the finish line and to expend effort to cross that line. And it could be, in this case, it's a sprint event where they're just straining that they can beat the other guy. But it could be in a more distance event where it's a long haul and the body gets tired and weak and so one has to just press on for that goal in order to finish the race. And so there is a part that we have in seeking and pursuing Christ, and part of that is is straining forward. And so part of that is looking forward, and so leaving the past behind and not looking back, but actually looking forward and to Christ and to the goal of seeking Him and seeking His glory. But also there's some strain involved, there's some effort involved, and in a sense we have to do our part in terms of seeking the Lord and taking time out to pray or to fast or to fellowship or to worship or many of the other disciplines that we may have in the Christian life. And so the Apostle Paul realizes that the walk of following Christ is not an easy one. It will take strain, it will take effort, but in the end it'll all be worth it as we seek upward the heavenly calling in Christ. Now the fourth area that Paul encourages is that of pressing on. And I think this has to do with basically keeping the good fight, carrying on. And he goes on and says that in verse 14, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ. And so he wants us to press on toward the goal. And the goal, of course, is the pursuit of Christ. And as we said earlier in Philippians, to know Christ and to consider all else rubbish in knowing Christ. But sometimes there's some really great obstacles that come in our way that can really sidetrack us, and so Paul is saying, you know, press on in that. This particular picture is of tennis great Pete Sampras. Until I think Djokovic and Federer came along, he had won the most Grand Slams, and so for many years, he was the most celebrated tennis player. And I actually remember watching this match. This was a match, I believe, from 1996 U.S. Open. I wasn't at this match, at the Open, but I watched it on TV. They always have night matches at the U.S. Open. They have many night matches, especially in the quarterfinals and semifinals. And this particular match, he was playing or competing against a Spaniard by the name of Correa. And in the middle of the match, and it was the fifth set match, you can see it's at 4 hours and 5 minutes, Sampras was spent. He was just totally done. He began cramping up. His stomach got upset to the point of that he actually vomited on the court. He didn't actually vomit on the playing part, but like kind of in the back. And actually, most every picture of that match shows him throwing up. And I actually found one where he wasn't, so you can thank me for that. But he ended up actually, I don't know if you know tennis that much, but he came to the place in a match where his opponent had a match point against him. So if his opponent wins that next point, Sampras loses. But Sampras fought off the match point and actually was able to kind of recover. He's kind of limping around and holding his leg and his stomach, and he was able to pull out the victory, and ultimately he won the tournament. And in that case, in the finals, he competed against Michael Chang. And I think I was rooting against Sampras for that match, but Sampras prevailed. But this was the toughest match that he had in the tournament. And, you know, he's a great champion, but there's times in matches and in his career where he just came across really difficult circumstances, really difficult obstacles, where it probably would have been easy for him just to say, you know, I'm sick, I'm going to just withdraw from this match and just call it a day, there's another tournament, I can win another time. But rather than doing that, he just kind of with fortitude of mind and spirit and body decided to press on, and he ended up winning and this match and continuing on. And I think this is a good example for us that there will be times in our life that maybe we will just be kind of laid flat, or we will just be really discouraged or depressed or have fallen in a way that we would have never expected, and we're devastated. But nonetheless, we're called by Paul to press on, to move beyond those trials in our life and to continue to pursue Christ, to pursue God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And finally, the Apostle Paul urges us to win the prize. And we see that in the last part of verse 14. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And so he wants us to win the prize. There's a goal in mind. He wants us to keep that goal in mind of pursuing Christ, of knowing Christ, and of drawing closer with Christ. And we've talked about this before, but it's actually both in the now and in the future. There's a tension as we seek to live our life before Christ as a believer in the now and in the not yet. And I think this is a tension that we see in this passage, that Paul has a desire to win the prize, but he knows he still needs to work and he still needs to take effort in order to pursue Christ. And that is exemplified in a verse, Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And so that's basically the summary of the letter of Philippians. And for Paul, it didn't really matter. If he was here, he was going to seek on, and he was going to try to press on and to pursue God with all of his heart. But if it came to the end and it was time for him to die and to give up his spirit, he was happy in that, because then the prize would be realized. He would truly be present with the risen Christ. Now, I did have a image here of gold medal winners. This is the 2004 women's champion soccer team, and so they were getting their gold medals on the platform. But because it was in Athens, the home of the Olympic Games, they also gave to each winner of gold medals that year a wreath. And so you see there's a wreath on top of their head. And that was the prize that ancient athletes in ancient Greece won. They didn't win a gold medal, they won a wreath. And they had different wreaths for the different games. And so in Athens, in the Olympic Games in ancient Greece, it was a laurel wreath, and that's a laurel wreath. And in the Isthmian Games, they had another wreath, which was basically like an evergreen kind of leaf, which may have maybe hurt a little bit because they had little needles in it. But nonetheless, those were the things that the athletes were striving for. Not, you know, it was almost more for the love of the game, I think, in the old days, because it wasn't for gold. It was for this very, and Paul even says, you know, seek not the imperishable, but the imperishable, because a wreath is obviously quite perishable. And 20 years down the road, it would probably be not in quite good of shape as when you received it. And so these Olympic champions have the wreaths on their head, but for the modern athletes, they also have their gold medals, and so that's a little bit nicer prize. But that's what the Apostle Paul is encouraging, again, with this athletic imagery, that we do have a goal, that we don't just kind of meander around in our Christian walk, but we have a goal to pursue Christ and to know Christ and to ultimately know and experience and enjoy the presence of Christ, both in the here and now, but also knowing that we can receive our reward in the future when we experience his presence fully in heaven. And so the Apostle Paul desires that we have that goal in him. And so what are some ways we can apply this? What are some encouragements that we can take from this passage? Well, there's several that that I thought of and that I think we can be encouraged by. And as you reflect and meditate on this passage throughout the week, you may come up with some other applications as well. But one of the first things that I see here is that a priority, to prioritize. And I think the gist that we really get from this passage is that the Apostle Paul really has a desire to pursue God, to pursue Christ with his whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, that is the priority beyond anything else. And I think it's something that we can reflect on and where our life stands. And if we have that heart for God, and if we maybe have stumbled or have lost our focus, this can be an encouragement in the new year to come back to the Lord and to seek him with our whole heart. The second thing is plan. Maybe take some time this year, in the beginning of the year, to set some goals to help you grow in Christ. And in some subsequent messages, we'll talk a little bit more about what some of those goals and how we can live this out before the Lord. But I think for most of us, I mean, we kind of know the basics, and one is always the Word of God and spending more time in the Word. And my encouragement is always to have a plan. And so go to the Bible app, and there's about 5,000 plans you can choose from. I'm sure you can find one, and you can even share with others in the app, and you can maybe decide to read through the New Testament in a year and gather some friends and connect with some friends, and you can keep one another accountable in something like that. And so just think of some ways that maybe you can move forward in your walk with God this year. And sometimes I think that just means taking time, and if not even a real explicit plan, some of it may be just beginning to integrate certain things in your life that you didn't do, maybe even on a very small scale. They say that, of course, in looking at the statistics, many people, when they hit the new year, want to get in shape. They want to lose some weight, and so the gyms have a bonanza. They make their most money in January because everyone's signing up. But usually after 3 months, most of those people are gone and they're no longer working out. Or those who are trying to quit smoking are, you know, they try to go cold turkey, but it's, you know, a few months later it just didn't work out. And I think part of it is actually just trying to make some lifestyle changes, no matter how small. And so this one article that I was reading was saying if you're trying to get in shape, don't necessarily make the real big plan in terms of getting the gym membership and getting a personal trainer, because most likely if you try to make that big step, you're going to fail. But they said try to take a little step, you know. Every day, maybe you don't move at all, so take a walk, you know, 10 minutes a day or 15 minutes a day. Or if you have a dog, go walk your dog. Or if you want to get a little bit stronger, do some push-ups, you know. Do how many push-ups you can do, 10 push-ups a day. And then maybe the next week add some sit-ups. And start small. And once you begin a routine, say, of sit-ups and push-ups and walking, and you've done that for a month or two, then maybe it's time to go to the next level and get a gym membership or something. But try to make some of the small changes first before just trying to tackle everything all at once. And I think that kind of is something we can think about, trying to make some of the small changes in our life. I know that even in the past month or so, I've kind of been convicted to eat better. And so I'm trying, often unsuccessfully, to have better food on the plate and to have better meals, and hopefully those changes can bring improvement over time. But I know that it's in the long haul, and our spiritual life's in the long haul. So let's begin somewhere and make a few small changes and see where that can go, and that can hopefully lead to bigger changes. And then finally, press on, stay the course in pursuing Christ. And I think that can be not only in the major of pursuing Christ with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, but also in pursuing our goals, knowing that if we do stumble and fall and we don't read the Bible every day like we needed to. One of the joys of the Bible app, and I don't know if you've ever used it for Bible reading plan, but they have a feature which is called catch up. And so you can press this button and catch up, and if you've missed a few days, it'll basically reset it to where you last were, and now you're caught up again, and then you can begin and continue with your plan. And I like to use that sometimes, and it makes me feel a little guilty, but that it kind of feels good to know that I have a fresh start, and then I can continue on without having to think that, oh, I have to read like 20 chapters now, you know, in the next 2 days. So, you know, we do have God's grace on our side, and we're encouraged to press on in the course of pursuing Christ. This particular picture is of a track event from 1956 in Vancouver, Canada. It is a race called the Miracle Mile. The first person to break the minute mile was 3:29 Roger Bannister, and his competitor here is a athlete by the name of John Landy, and they had a competition, and at this competition, and they weren't the only two, there was other runners in this competition for the mile, and it was the first time that two runners broke the 4-minute mile in the same race. And so it had only been a week or, you know, a month or two previously that Roger Bannister had broken the 4-minute barrier. But Landy, number 300, he actually was winning this race, the whole race. He was ahead of everybody. And with maybe about 50 yards to go or 100 yards to go, you see how he turned his head? And he was thinking and trying to see where his competition was. But people who watched this race and studied this race, he didn't realize that Bannister was coming up on his right, but they said the fact that he turned his head was what cost him the race. And so he was looking behind, and that distraction caused him to lose. He didn't win the prize. And so I think on one level, that's an encouragement for us to look forward and not so much dwell on the past and those things that have tripped us up, but to continue to place our focus and priority on Christ. But I think that this illustration also has another level to it. Landy happened to lose this race because of this mistake that he made. But in the article that I was reading, it said that maybe about a month or two later, he was in a competition, and he won that race, and I think he probably beat Bannister in that race, and he set the lowest time at that point, which was like maybe four, you know, it was like, I don't know exactly the time, 4.8 seconds, and the previous record was 4.91 seconds. And so I think these two runners at the time just were kind of competing against each other for the world records. But that actually encouraged me as well, because even in having a devastating loss like that, Landy kind of regrouped, and he learned from his mistake, and he went on, and he was able to eventually win the prize and get the world record. And so I think, again, that's an encouragement for us, that even when we do mess up and make mistakes that we will do, nonetheless, we are called to press on and to continue to see Christ in our life. And as the verse said, to press on towards the goal of the upward goal of Christ. So let's be encouraged this week. Think about these things, and let's seek to follow Christ and pursue Him, maybe at a level that we haven't previously, and then we can see the fruit that God will bring forth in our lives individually and as a body as we seek Him together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word, and we thank you for the encouragement of the Apostle Paul. We know that he accomplished much in his life, but we also realize that he really didn't take any satisfaction or joy in those accomplishments compared to really wanting to know you and to pursue you and follow you. And so, Father, help us to reflect and on Paul and to take his example, Lord, to pursue you with all of our heart and to press on, Lord, even when times are tough. And, Lord, may this be a year for each of us, Lord, in our church, Lord, that we may take that step, Lord, that extra step forward, that commitment of knowing you more and seeking you, Lord, with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so we thank you, Lord, for your strength and your provision and your help, Lord, as we seek to follow you. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen.